Today, my sermon title is Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. We'll have some long journey because I'm preparing this topic about health and scripture together. And there are so many areas we have to touch. So about 5 weeks ago, I had my first sermon with the title of the last sermon was a secret of living longer. And since it has been for 5 weeks ago, I might give a little bit review of this important parts, and then I'm going to move on. Now, we all know, as a Bible-believing Christians, especially the Seventh-day Adventists, we know what is the secret of living longer. This is not just what we believed, but this is the one who believed, this is the one that secret that has been revealed to anybody who opened the Bible and read from Genesis all the way through Revelation. But especially in 2005, there was an amazing discovery and publication about what's going on in this world in terms of some people who apparently to know the secret of living longer. So this National Geography, they researched it, and they found three different communities globally where those people are very well stable, health-wise, and living longer. And this article actually published that. And as we saw before, the first place is where? Okinawa, Japan. But look at this lady. She was 86 at the time. And in that part, average lifespan is 82. So she's a very strong. But when I look at her, there's some degenerative joint disease in the MCP joint of the index finger and thumb and so forth. So, but she's amazing that she's able to kneel down without any problem. And she's collecting this delicious seaweed, which I like very much. And it's a background with a sea, you know, negative ions, fresh air, and sunshine, such a beautiful environment. No wonder people there live longer. And the next one we found was where? Italy, Sardinia. And look at this beautiful valley, mountainous area. And this man is walking. They don't have any motorcycle or whatever. They just use their God-given mobile device. And so this is another place that they found. But I share this story many times to the people through my contact with my clinic. But when I had the third one, I asked them usually, guess what was the third place? And they couldn't figure out. And when I said, it is in USA, they just opened their eyes. And so this is what we know, this Loma Linda, California. But you know, when I first visited Loma Linda, California, it was during, I think, summertime. I really hated that area. I was on the way from Texas all the way to Portland for my first job, and which is still, I have still same job. But anyway, it was Loma Linda. It's muggy and air pollutions. And I said, actually, I got initially a job in L.A., but I said, no, I'm not going to go to L.A. I'm going to go to Portland. But on the way, I visited this Southern California, and I said, if they want to give me some big money, I'm not going to even move down there. But this place is very unusually, environmentally very not a healthy place, but this is where there is a community of people who are living like this lady, who is 100 years old, and she's actually pumping the gas, and her job is she's going to the volunteer work in I-10. I don't know if you ever drove an I-10. It's so many lanes and so congested. But this lady is doing that on a regular basis with the age of 100 year old. But amazingly, this place is not like the other place where the other Okinawa and the Sardinia, those places are more family-oriented, more blood-related family. But in Loma Linda, California is not. It's just because there's a group of people who have same faith, same spiritual understanding. And these are the community of what they call here Seventh-day Adventist. This is the publication that the Adventist Church never bribed to this National Geography. This is real fact, amazing fact, that it's in such a very smoke and then poor water quality, I know, and poor air quality. But still, there's a thriving community, and it's because they actually believe what the Bible says in terms of their physical and spiritual, emotional, and health-wise. So this is where the Adventist Church has been published all the world, in a way. And therefore, like here in this U.S. News World we shared last time, and there are, here it says 10 health habits that makes you to live up to 100 years old. And then here, verse 8 is where, what did it say? It says what? You have to live like Adventist. So this is a secular mass media actually promoting lifestyle of Seventh-day Adventist Christians. Not only that, U.S. Today also published some of their articles, and in 2011, and then also this Newsweek, how to live, what is the next words? Forever. How to live forever. And one thing I don't like this picture is this old lady with a cane. I think that is not qualifying for what? Forever, okay? But anyway, here says, you are Seventh-day Adventist. No wonder there are many centurions as a Seventh Adventist. You know, I met many Adventists who love Jesus Christ, who have assurance of salvation in their daily life, and they are taking care of their body as a holy temple. And so they live a life as a children of the light, not the people who live on in this earth without any purpose, like living like a children of darkness. So this has been a good testimony. But I'm wondering, as I'm getting older, am I be able to reflect those our forefathers who lived such a long life, healthy life, and energetic life, and still am I be able to inherit that that heritage and enjoy that? And also I can give it to my next generation. And I'm kind of have some concern as generation after generation. It's just like Israel people where God blessed us so much, but as their forefather passed away and they later, who is Jehovah? That kinds of question mark in their minds, and they mingle with the world. And that's where a lot of problem can occur. So because of that, the secret of living longer, and they now had this blue zone. This is a more recent addition. So they found in Greece and Costa Rica, they had some of similar group, but these are all the group where they don't have any like a religious or faith-based community. It's only the Loma Linda, Seventh-day Adventist Church, the community, actually, the one that is very unique in the sense. Now, so in this article, they have three questions. Eat like the world's longest-lived people. The more I think about that, I think this is really a warning to all the world that what is actually food? I'm going to talk about food later as we discuss about one of the new start concept, which is the first word, N, which is nutrition. So I'll kind of defer this issue later time. But as you know, God has originally the food that people who live the longest in this world, they enjoyed it, which is plant-based diets. But we'll talk about that later. And then the next question is discover ways to add life to your years. And we as a Christian, we have to say that John chapter 10, verse 10. What did he say? I have come so that they might have life, and then they might have life what? Abundantly. Yeah. Just because you are 80, you are not crumbled. Just because 90, you are not on wheelchair. They are energized and vibrant life they have to live. That is what Jesus says. I'll give you life, but not only that, but it's more abundantly. And who are they? They will have life, and they might have life abundantly. The verse 11, John chapter 10, verse 11, talk about good shepherd. Who is good shepherd? Jesus Christ. So those are the ones who follow Jesus as good shepherd. In other words, the one who understand the voice of Jesus Christ, they will have this kind of abundant life. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 24, you know that he who hears my words and believe the one who sent me have what? Have everlasting life. And they are not coming into condemnation, but the person already passed from what? From death to life, eternal life. Okay? Yeah. So, make healthy choice, easy choice. A lot of people say, oh, you don't eat this? Oh, you don't see this? You don't go someplace? And we are very comfortable with what our choice of lifestyle. Not somebody who is gradually and forced to do something. No, we are enjoying what we are eating. I was a meat eater for long times, but when I accept the health message of New Start, I changed my diets, and now I'm wondering how come I enjoyed those type of food in the past. And you have a new taste, new understanding, new joy that is coming. They are promised to come to us. Therefore, it is very easy choice in a way. So we know the New Start, nutrition, exercise, water, sunshine, temperance, air, rest, and trust in God. Now, as I shared last time, the plant only need, they don't need any exercise, they don't need any trust in God, and they don't need any rest. So they are only NWSTA, NUSTA. But animal, they need everything what we need except the last one, trusting God. But we human, we need all of them together. But which is more important than anything else? I think in my assessment of understanding the New Start movement going on in some places, we are emphasizing so much of first seven, you know, nutrition, exercise, water, sunshine, all these things, except the last one, which is trusting God. Because Bible says, what did he say here? The last one. I am Jehovah who heals you. So actually it is not the food that heals you. It is not the water that heals you. It is not the air that heals you. It is the God who gives those to give you the health. So we tend to forget about God, but emphasizing too much on each part of those. If you do that, if I do that, forgetting the last one, then all these seven of them become what? Become actually idol. Do you see some indication of those idol in the New Start movement? You have to think about that. So I think we need to really understand to know God, to receive His spiritual energy to come to us, so that that is the one that heals us by the medium of all these other seven different regiment. So think about this. It is God who didn't cause you any disease. It is not the God who spread the germs to have people, many people suffer. It is God who heals. And so in the Lamentation of chapter 3, verse 33 and 39, 40, it says, For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. It didn't say the children of his people. No. God is not afflicting willingly or grieving to the children of men. That means whole humanity in this world. So don't ever blame or think it is God who afflicts and then give a healing. No, that is not the personality of God. That is not the character of God. So that people are saying, why should a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins. Let us search out and examine our ways and then what? Turn back to Jehovah. So that is what the Bible is talking about. And in other words here, yet you have not listened to me. Because we don't listen to God in any aspect of our life, we are in a deep trouble. Physical, mental, spiritual illness. Of course, in my work line, I see a lot of people who have injury. Injury is different from illness. But still, I think the basic understanding is the same, because it is God who heals us in whatever situation. Maybe there is some limit, but we still have to look for God's way in this matter. So here it says, Jeremiah 25, verse 7, why are you provoking me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt? In other words, because of your hand, you did something wrong and it hurts you. Why are you coming to me to blame? But do you know what? Even here, the way I try to understand this is, even though you try to provoke me, God says, I'm not going to be provoked by what you're saying. Because God is above human provocations, really. Yeah. And so, now, this week I was reading some scripture and I was so amazed. Probably you have a lot studied this book called Ezekiel. Ezekiel is Old Testament, like Old Testament book of Revelation. If you read Ezekiel, there's a lot of talking about punishment, judgment, and sin, and how there is a judgment going on. It's just look like reading the New Testament in Old Testament view. And so I was a little bit studying here, and I found very interesting things I want to share with you. Here, Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, it looks like it's talking about some, I don't know, humorously talking about American politics. Because Ezekiel was called, you need to stay on your left side, sleeping on left side, how long? How long? 390 days. Why? The left side, which is here is Israel, they had such a horrible life. So you need to stay on your left side, sleeping 390 days to bear their iniquities. And at the same time, it says, after that, now you sleep on your right side for how long? 40 days because of Judah, Israel and Judah. One is leftist, one is rightist. I don't know this election turn out who belongs to leftist or rightist. But as I told you before, I think we are now fighting between this, we see the fighting between rightist and leftist, but eventually the world will change, not because of left and right fighting, it's fighting between top and bottom. Because what Jesus said in John chapter 8 says, you are from below, you are from on this earth, but I'm from above. So when Jesus says you are from the beneath, talking about you are beneathist, but I am what? Aboveist. Eventually, all this right and left side, they will be shuffled around there in a nest. They'll come, either they belong to aboveist or belowist, beneathist. Are you prepared for leading those people which direction? And are you ready that you yourself is not much of this side, but up and down? That is the decision we have to make. So this Ezekiel is really talking about, here it says, Israel people, they play the harlot. And next one he says, such a thing should not happen nor be. In other words, this is something God never anticipated that they will do it. It should never happen before and now or never in the future. Therefore, in Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 9 and 12 says, I will do among you what I have never done and the like of which I will never do again. It's the same kinds of, you know, situation here. Never happened before, never happened in the future amongst the people, so-called God's people. So God says, I will never done before, never do in the future, but I have to do it now. That's what it's talking about. It's because of all your abominations. And he says, one third shall die of pestilence and consume the famine in your midst. And one third shall fall by the sword around you, and then I will scatter another third all the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them. So when you say one third plus one third plus one third is what? 100%. So nobody gonna be survived. But because of the, you know, one theologian used to be my teacher many years ago said, every curse, every judgment that predicted in the Bible, Old Testament, that never been fulfilled, has been fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. So what God actually indicated all these issues, God actually poured that into whom? Jesus Christ. So Jesus become what? As I earlier mentioned, he become our sin. He became sin. Think about the God who is nothing but pure beauty and truth become a sin because God hates the worst thing, that is the presence of the sin. But he became sin for what? Because he want to give his righteousness to us. So that's why we are praising God. But here in Ezekiel chapter 5, this is just like reading the Revelation, okay? But here it says, so say to them, Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, as I live, says Jehovah God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Think about this. But the wicked, what is next word? Turn from his way and leave. Turn from evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel? I think Ezekiel is the book that actually gives a warning how the judgment will come. But God's original intention is what? His intention is he wanted them to live and turn. It is very unusual. You can find the three same words repeating in the same verse. Like this is one of them. Turn from your evil ways. There is no pleasure in the death of wicked in God's heart. See, earlier I forget to mention that when God says it is not, what was that? God says in the Lamentation chapter 3, verse 33, it says, maybe I'll just go back there, that's important. Yeah. For he does not afflict willingly. The willingly, this word in Hebrew words is lev, which means heart. So in his own heart, he doesn't want to afflict and give a grievance of his the people he created. That's not his intention. It is all human disobedience. They go away from God's way there, and then they got a trouble. But God says, please, however, come back. Leave. That's what he's talking about. So the willingly, in Korean word, is bonshim. Bon means original. Sim means heart. So sometimes the Korean word is very clear in terms of understanding. So when I read this, that willingly is such an important God's indication, his heart, his message to us. So what I found was in the book of Ezekiel, there is a word live, L-I-V-E, live. I found this about 60 times. And at the same time, here, surely live. He shall surely live. And then also the bottom one, also 18 verse 9 says, he shall surely live. This is surely live. The word surely is the same word as live. It translated as surely, but it actually means live. Like return. It's live. I found out those two words are one at the end of, I mean, one after another has been about eight times in the book of Ezekiel. So I don't think this book of Ezekiel is actually the grooming or punishing and the fearing kinds of documentation of God's word. I think this is the book that actually is a Old Testament gospel where you come to me, leave. That is the kind of message that I read. So when we talk about wonderfully and fearfully made, as we all know, but I realized verse 16 on the same Psalm 139, I read here, thine eye did see my substance. Substance is everything that I have here. Substance, okay? This substance, yet, what is next words? Being unperfect. In his books. So in other words, we're talking about where God originally created Adam. You know, whenever we read the Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we think with our sinful nature, and sinful natures had some sort of their scientific principles. But we are trying applying this corrupted scientific application into the sinless environment. That's why they cannot figure it out. So, for instance, here, the next word, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we know that. Jehovah God formed man and dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril and he became breath of life and a living soul. Now, think about it. Before Adam breathed the breath of life, what's happened with Adam? He's still, you can see him, right? Form. And nothing works there. Everything's what? Stand still. Adam had a heart. Adam had blood. There's nothing, however, moving, acting. But Adam's, God already put the perfect orderliness in his body. But as we said in the Psalm 139, says, our substance is what? Unperfect. Unperfect. This word is, in Hebrew words, is golem, which is only used only one time in the Old Testament. No other reference. So this is very unique words. And in other words, all human beings after Adam, they all inherited Adam's life. But Adam's life at that time was he already sinned. So everything in his body has been changed. Physiologically, morphologically, a lot of things has been changed. Just like all the animals. All the animals, they are living the way God originally wanted. But after Adam's sin, curse came to this world. And now they're what? They're fighting back and forth. And so once in a while, I see some documentary in the television program. There are two kinds. One is what? Beautiful nature, you know, all these different national park and other places, mountains and the cliffs and waterfalls and trees and glacier and all these beautiful things. But at the same time, we have to see this animal kingdom. What is the animal kingdom? It's exactly reflecting the spirit of the devil. Where? Because they're fighting and they like blood and they hate each other. See, so please don't watch those things too much, especially with the children. Rather, you have to watch the beautiful nature, right? The beautiful nature. The word nature, as I shared many times, nature is what? It's, you know, it's a tree and the rocks and the water, mountain. That is nature, of course. But nature, in other words, is what? Personality. Oh, this man has a good nature. What does that mean? Good personality. So originally nature is reflecting God's nature that we enjoy very much. But remember, even this God's nature, this is so beautiful. And actually, this nature that we enjoy so much is not really original one. We don't know what original was. But this is all result of what? Judgment. Noah's flood, judgment. So we see this God's judgments and looking at, oh, it's beautiful. Think about that. If this is so beautiful, when God says, I'm preparing a place for you, the place you never even imagined, you never heard, you never even seen. What kind of beautiful things we'll have. So if people are not going with us, they're going to miss a lot of things and they will regret. What a gratitude we have to God who provided wonderful works of in this creation. Now, this here, at the bottom, I put the Korean words. It says the first left one. Yeah. It says a sanggi. Sang means the next one, the same one, right? Sang, the first word sang. Sang means living, life, living. And then next word is gi. Gi means is breath or power. So breath of life. Where Adam was stand still, even though all the organs are so perfect. Not like our unperfect substance in Psalm 139 says, but it cannot be a perfect until God gave a God's energizing power, which is breath of life. That's why it moves now, started moving. See, when we have a sickness, I'm going to talk more about this very soon. A lot has to do with the gene that we have in DNA. And that is actually the one that control most of the illness that we know. But the thing is that gene can turn on and turn off because of some different factors. I will talk about that. In order, those genes that makes protein, that gene has to be activated. It has to receive some command. The command is coming from the brain, but ultimately it's coming from supernatural power. There are only two kinds of supernatural power we know, according to the Bible. One is what? Holy Spirit. The other one is what? Evil spirit. So we talk about that. The next word is sangmyung. It's a very interesting word. Sangmyung means life, like a sang or sangmyung. But this myung means what? Is command. In other words, God says, you should receive my life. That is, so in other words, I receive his life, then I have a life. In other words, life is not generated from me. The life I have is never my own, not original. It was borrowed. It was borrowed from. So in other words, we are depending upon some outside source of my life. So I kept saying several times on this pulpit, why God gave us mouth? We just talk. No, this is not just talking, but it has to receive what? Energy source. So when we eat, open our mouth and then chewing, we declare to whole universe, look at me. I'm eating because I don't have any source of my life here inherently. I need something I need to depend. That's what we are proclaiming. So when you eat, don't just eat like this. You just sometimes eat, open your mouth to universe. God, I love you because you gave me this food and I depend on you the rest of my eternity. So, but however, we all know God's commandment is what? Is his what? His promise. When God command, that is not something forcing us. That is what God says, I will promise you to do. I will make you to do with your willing heart because I'll give you a new heart in you. So you are now able to enjoy what you hated before and now you hate what you enjoyed before. That is totally return. That is totally return as we read the Ecclesiastes, you know, chapter 33. So when we come back, there is a true change of new life. That is what everything about Christianity. Now, the word there, wonderfully and fearfully. We know wonderfully. I mean, wonderfully means what? Wonderful. Oh, it's wonderful. Actually, the literally says, wonder is full. So in other words, when I see things, when I do something, and I enjoy, and if there is wonderful, I mean, I have to just pour out wonder from my life. That's why when we study human, it's so marvel that we have to say wonder. I will show just a little bit of those information as time goes. But in terms of fearful, fear is full out of my life. Well, what is fear, by the way? What is fear? See, Bible says, Psalm 31 verse 19 says what? Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, and which you have prepared for those who trust in you. in the Old Testament psalm, it is like repeating the same idea. So those who fear you is the same as those who trust in you. So in other words, when you trust, you are not fleeing away from the person. You are actually what? You're coming closer to that person. So whenever we talk about fear of God is what? We're actually not afraid, but going closer to God because I trust God. But look at how Adam and Eve did. What did they do when God says, where are you? And they what? They hid. And the Bible says because they are fear. So Bible actually has two different fear. One is fear of God, which is trusting in him. And therefore, I think Renee had here what nice scripture. I will give thanks to you because I am what? Awesomely. Yeah, that word's awesomely. That's exactly the word I'm looking for. This awesomely. The fear is so marvel and it's something you just admire and you're not fleeing away from that. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10 says, they may learn to fear me all the days they live on this earth, and then they may teach their children. See, fearing is something here, Bible says, true fearing is you have to what? You have to learn. It is not coming just by birth. There are some fear like that by birth. As a, you know, if you bring your baby, newborn baby, going, you know, take to the pediatricians, they do a test, what they call startling test, and have a baby hold it and just drop it. And then if the baby is nothing and has some mental or neurological problem. But when it drops, yeah, that's a fear. Did they learn it? No. That is the fear that you never need to learn. But this fear we're talking about is what? You have to learn how long? All the day of your life. And not only that, you have to teach that to your children. So true fear is what? It's the beginning of the wisdom and beginning of the knowledge. That fear we have to understand. So when we do that, we are truly understand my body, such a beautiful, wonderful body. And, wow, today I'm actually studying some health talk. But I think it's very important for us to understand some basic things. Now, if God says our body is wonderful and fearful, even though it's not perfect, that means that we have to see that. And that's what I'm talking about here. And, you know, the adult human body, how many cells we have? 36 trillion. And then we also have more bacteria, virus, they're living with us as our friend, coexisting. And we can go over different organelle, they call, you know, small organs, organelle of the cell. It takes one semester to talk about that in different things. But one thing I cannot just bypass, I cannot just ignore, which is wall of the cell. This wall is like here, you can see the cell membrane. That's what I'm talking about, cell membrane. See, a living things that survive, it has to have a wall. So like, you know, the penicillin. Penicillin is the one that kills the bacteria. How it kills bacteria? The chemical goes into the wall of the bacteria and then destroy the wall, make a hole. So all the cells, all the bacteria cell inside is going out and then it dies. That's what penicillin does. So look at that. You know, we had such a big elections and discussion things. When this country has no wall around, It means it's destined to die. Even our human cell has a wall, not just one cell, it has a double walls. But it has a permeable, in other words, it's not an open, it only checked the things that needs and breathe in, and the thing that has to go out, going out a different door. So it's very selective. That's the only way we can do, we can continue. Therefore, I think illegal is not a good idea the way we see. Now, as we shared a little bit last time, Human Genome Project. This is where actually scientists find out how the cell look like, and then what are the function of the things inside the nucleus, and they found the DNA, RNA, but they didn't figure out how it shapes. So finally they did that, and it's through the Human Genome Project. They found we have 30,000 genes and 3 billion base pair. In others, 3 billion letters, what it means. But anyway, you probably saw this before. In the nucleus of the cell, like here, here is a cell. That cell inside, there is something like this. This is all a chromosome in different length. It has a 23, and then they kind of measure the size, and they gave it names, and they found it out there, which disease is affected by some problem in the certain chromosome number, and then they figure out how we can solve that issue. This is how we developed such an advanced scientific discovery. So basically, I'm going to figure out how I'm going to arrange this lecture. This chromosome from the cell, nuclear cell, and actually chromosome is a condensed DNA. DNA has this genetic materials. Now, the interesting is this. This DNA, if you stretched out 23 different chromosomes, they all stretched out. It is like a 6 feet long. But it actually coming from this small nucleus of the cell. And this nucleus is so small. And it's like, we call it 10 micrometer. Now, if you figure out the 6 feet DNA into the micrometer, it's like a 2 million micrometer long. And how the 2 million micrometer long, this thread-like substance can compact it into 10 micron. It's another like 200,000 times longer. So this is a mystery of human cell. But one thing is, even if it's long, I have here some, by the way, things, like you say, this is DNA. You know, DNA has a double helix, but, you know, if you already wrinkle here, and it's knotted, and you have very difficult time to open it up. But how all these things can compacted, condensed, and put into the small area? It's because of the, even though it's a long length, but the width is such a thin one. The thin is like if you compare with the human hair cell, human hair is about 80,000 times bigger. So it's such a tiny, small, thin DNA. That's why it can be compacted inside. But you know, when cell is divided, they all kind of spread out, and that space is such a limited, small space. This is a mystery. But anyway, they found that in this DNA, there are four letters, which is here, you call this guanine, cytosine, adenine, and thymine. When I was many years ago, I studied this chemicals. I enjoyed, but very difficult to remember. So I said, well, you all know Adventists. Have you ever been in at the GC, General Conference? I never been at the time. So, but I figured out, at ATGC. So that is exactly the words, you know, at adenine, thymine, at and GC, guanine and cytosine. Then you don't forget that. Now, these are the four letters, basically. These are the letters that are encrypted in this tremendous DNA molecules. So think about this. If DNA is a letter, that's how the scientists are now saying. Letter has a meaning. The letter has a meaning, therefore it has a will or thought of the one who originated. If you think that way, you cannot ever believe the evolutionary process. Because evolution is basically randomly, there's no purpose. Just randomly by the almighty time as their gods, million, billion years, somehow it just arranged and what we are is what we are. No, Bible says our body, this is not the lump of the flesh. Of course it's a lump of the flesh, but it is also what? It is a lump of character, the words. So it is the will, it is the thought of God who put in all of us. Now, the issue here is, this we call epigenetics. Epigenetic is the after genetics. You know, in the past, the scientists talk about genetics. I took some classes too in the past. But all this past knowledge is non and void because now they have epigenetic. Epi means what? Above. Epi means above. So what it means is this. Well, in the past, before epigenetics, you are doomed according to your genetic material that you receive from your parents. You cannot change that. Of course, there are some we cannot change, like male and female. Well, this day they have some different ideas, but it's not true, okay? And also, if you have a blonde, you're fixed in a way. And if you are short, maybe it's a genetically influenced. But now, what the epigenetic is telling us is that in spite of this genetic component of guanine, adenosine, thymine, all these things, they never changed. Evolutionists say, oh, those things will change eventually. But now we see some changes even within one generation. And these are the ones that basically what it means is let me put this way. This Time magazine, why your DNA is not your destiny. In other words, you can, by your thought, by your desire, by your wishes, by your practice, by your changing something, DNA is following your will in a way. That's what epigenetic, in a nutshell, is talking about. Therefore, when our body is all the letters, the letter of God, God's will can be accomplished in our body by my choice. That's what epigenetic really means. So example is this. You know, there are two pigs, right? One is domesticated pig, the other one is wild pig. Can you figure which one is domestic? Of course, the white one. But in America, as well as in other countries, when there's a big pig farm, what happened? Sometimes those pigs are just, you know, just to go through the fence, and they go to the live in the wild area. And within a month, after they found, after a month, those same domesticated, like a pet, you know, you people, I don't do that, but people enjoy and, you know, hug and stroke and all these things. They're very docile, very obedient. But after a month, they change their personality. Very aggressive, very aggressive. Not only that, their fur is growing fast. So what that means is what? They have a gene, just like we have, and the gene that produced fur has been shut down before. Why? Because they live in a household area, warm, comfortable, so they don't need any fur. So the gene that makes fur has to be shut down because there's no need. But at the same time, when they become wild, they need something. So they need to realize the need of what? More cloth. So that's why the gene that makes fur is now opening up. So these are really environmental changes that makes the gene to open up rather than shut down. At the same time, about one generation later, this husk is growing back because they need husk to dig up ground and they fight with the other animals. So the one that has been shut down, the one that has never been turned on, the gene that makes husk now is activated. And also their snout is more long and their head is more flat so that they can dig up more in the ground easily. So these are all scientifically proven result that environmental need will change the gene to turn on or to turn off. So like, for instance, as I mentioned here, this methyl group. Methyl group is one carbon and three hydrogen together. This methyl group goes into this histamine. There's histone. And it goes to a certain place just going there. Then that area of the gene that used to produce a certain protein shut down. So they never produce until something happened. And then with that shut down gene, and then when they become parents, that shut down gene inherit to the next generation. But if you change that, and then the gene is active, then active gene is inherited to your next generations. That's why we are saying our DNA is not a destiny. In other words, there is a betterment. There is a recovery of whatever damage because of your choice you made. God has his power. The thing is, we have to receive his power. That's basically what it is. Now, the other thing is, in this part of the Mozambique, there is a national park called, the name is an interesting name. Gorongosa National Park. They found that there's a lot of elephants. And look at this tusk, or ivory tusk. But earlier, last century, they found out a lot of elephants, they don't have any tusk coming out. So people say, wow, this is a natural selection. This is natural. So it's proving the evolution. But it wasn't that way. It was totally opposite because they have more tuskless elephants are numbered. They are growing more numbers. So the only thing is they don't have any tusk. Why? So they figure out and they realized it is because of the pouch. You know what pouch, right? The one who hunting these elephants. Pouch? Pouch, I'm sorry, yeah. I'm still learning something. Poaching, yeah. P-O-A-C-H, right? Something like that? Poach. Yeah, okay, thank you. So what happened is this Mozambique, they have a civil war, and they're fighting each other, and they need a weapon. So weapon is expensive. So what is the best way to have a fund for the weapon? They kill these elephants. You know what? The price is so great. This tusk, they have tusk has usually about ivory tusk, about up to 220 pounds, okay? And the long one is like my height, 6 feet. But usually, they sell this like per pound, about $950. So if you have 220 pounds, it come up with what? Almost $210,000. So what happened is, the important thing is, elephant, I was told, I've never seen that, but when their family died, usually they go there and they mourn and see what's happened. So each time these elephants, they die because of somebody killed, and they realize, wow, and then all the husk is taken out. So what happened with the mother? They're worrying about their prosperity. Their gene that produce this ivory has to be shut down. So that there are many, especially the female elephants, they don't have any tusk much. Now, since the civil war is over, they are growing back a little bit. So in other words, even animal, they sense something, but there is a adaptation to that. This is, I didn't cover their eyes because it's already public domain. This is identical twin. They have the same exact genetic materials. But look at that. One is from even childhood, somewhat depressed. And the other one, when they're growing up, there's facial expression is different. What happened? A lot of people say, this is something happened inside of their thoughts. Something happened, and one person become very positive, the other person become very negative. So as we know, there are happy hormone and stress hormones. So in other words, when you had some stress, when you had some trauma, what happened? All your happy hormone-making gene has shut down. So that express you have no happy hormone. So you don't want to even smile. So, but if that person truly find Jesus Christ and their gene is activated and then they produce endorphin and serotonin and dopamine, all these things. So they change it. You know, I'm going to talk more about this type of things now, also including the whole our like cancer and new start. So I'm still in the introductory stage, but I had to spend some time introduction of what we talked about last month, because we have the once a month lecture, so there's some disadvantage for that. But we can get along long time, okay? Several months, I guess. Now, I want to talk about more this telomere, these things. But remember, you are and I am, we are carrying the letter that indicates God's love and His intention in our life, His will intention in our life. So Bible even says that, right? Even all these scientific things happen now. In the past, Bible says You are, I am what? The letter of whom? Letter of Jesus Christ. And we are fragrant of Christ's beautiful scent. Yeah, so actually when we read the Bible, it actually correlates with the science in a way. Now, I have just a few slides. So this is a factory. You know, the TSMC. Do you know what that means? Taiwan. What is the next word?
Science.
Taiwan. Somebody knows? It is a, speak loudly. That's right. Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company. And they are building, this one is, I think, Arizona right now, is more than $1 billion, maybe close to $20 billion. They're making it just to make a chips, okay? Now, this is a Samsung semiconductor place, and they also now making in another company, another factory in Austin, Texas right now. They are also about $17 billion they invest. But think about it. Our body has what? An amazing factory that makes it without any money, without any energy. How much you spend your energy to feed all these cells? Just a good meal, that's enough. God is wonderful. He actually fearfully, wonderfully made our body, even though it's not perfect. So Bible says, Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 15 and 16. As I said, he shall surely live and shall not die. He shall surely live. So in other words, the book of Ezekiel is inviting us that let's live. Why don't you live? That's my command. That is my promise. And you take care of your body according to what the New Start concept. And you energize with God's presence daily with the Word of God. And then your life will be changed. And then you will be able to enjoy this life meaningfully. And then you'll be taken by when Jesus comes to heavenly place. So my message today is God is good. And God is the one who takes care of us. And let's now study more, diligently more, God's commandment so that will be the blessing for us and eternal happiness and blessing to other people. May all of you be blessed with the message. Thank you very much. Remind us the message that we have received, that our life is coming from you. And the best way for our health is to follow your protocol in our life. Bless each and every one of us in their needs, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially, in all aspects. Jesus is the only answer for this resolution of their problem. So please utilize the abundant life that Jesus promised to give to us. As we move forward for this coming week, because of your presence, we'll be able to go through any challenge because you are with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.